chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. They got that recording going up there. And the slides are there as well. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read from verses 18 through to 20. We need to pray this morning for Sister Stephanie Houghton. She messaged me just before service, and she's been very unwell for the last 2 weeks. So let's pray for her. Also pray for Sister Ann Bennett this morning. Lord Jesus, we just pray for Sister Stephanie right now. Lord, as she's sick, oh God, Lord, for this 2 week period, Lord God, I pray that you would touch her body. Even now as we pray, touch her. Lord God, as also we've been requested to pray for Sister Ann, who is unwell. Lord God, I pray that you would also be with her. Lord God, you see the sickness that she's fighting and the tests and surgery. Oh God, Lord, I pray that you would be with her. Lord, that you would touch her. Let your healing hand touch her. We also just pray for Brother Ray. Lord God, that you would be with him also in this time as Sister Ann is sick. Comfort him. Be his peace. Be his refuge. Help him to draw closer to you in this time. Pray for Pastor Turkington. Continue to touch his body, oh God. Sister Robin Morris, Lord, be with her also. Let your healing hand and your virtue flow into her body, oh God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Matthew 4, verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." You're allowed to say fishers when the Bible says that, but you would say that they were fishermen. "And he said unto them," that is Jesus, "Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway," everyone say immediately, "and immediately they left their nets and they followed him." For the sake of getting this verse into our minds, we're going to read it again. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him." They followed Jesus. I want to speak today on this simple title, The Call of God. The call of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Help us to be attentive today. Lord God, to block out the distractions of a week that has gone and a week that is ahead. Lord God, that this moment right now that we would focus on your word. And Lord, that we would get faith from your word today, that we would leave this place changed. And Lord, there would be revelation from your word today. Lord, call unto us, oh God, and help us to answer. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. The call of God. The call of God. Is the call of God just a one-off occurrence in our life? When we talk about the call of God, are we talking only about the call to salvation? Because every single one of us that have experienced salvation can recall a time. You can recall a time when it was as if God called you. Maybe you were in some situation. Maybe you had found yourself in an unfortunate place. Maybe you had found yourself in a very low place and you felt the call of God on your life. And maybe that is what called you to come to church. Maybe that is what called you. God was calling you to answer his call. But is the call of God just a one-off occurrence? And is the call of God always linked only to salvation? Is the call of God, so a lot of times when we talk about the call of God, we talk only about the call to ministry. And very often you'll hear a minister or somebody who is in ministry saying, I felt the call of God and I answered the call of God. But I submit to you today that yes, God calls us when we are saved, but God continues to call us as we walk and as we live with Him. In fact, today I submit to you that even as the preaching of the word comes forth, it doesn't matter if you've been walking with God 40 years or if you're just here on your first day at church, that God is going to call unto you. If you would hear His word, there is a call going out to every single one of us here today. Maybe you're here today and you've already heard the call of God. Maybe as the worship was going forth, and maybe as you were praying and dwelling in the presence of God, you felt God calling you. You felt God, it may be not just saying, come, but maybe God is calling you to change. Maybe God is calling you to leave some things behind. Maybe God is calling you back to your first love. You see, whenever we are walking with God, there is always going to be a call on our life. The scripture says it like this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. It says, who hath saved us? See, that started with a call. You have not chosen me, the Bible says. God has chosen us. He called us. And it says, who hath saved us? That started with a call. And has called us with a holy calling. Yes, the call of God is like no other. That's why we can say it is holy. But if you read in other translations, it doesn't just say a holy calling, but it implies that we have been saved and now we are called to live a holy life. Everyone say a holy life. God says, I have called you, I have saved you, but now I am going to continue to call you to live a holy life. To walk in your calling, not to just stay at the same location, at the same experience with God, but God is calling us further on. As we learned last week, that God has called us out of Egypt, but not just to come out of Egypt, but to keep going. Let my people go and let them keep going. And so this scripture in 2 Timothy indicates that we are saved. Yes, God calls us to salvation. But after salvation, there is a holy call, a call to live a holy life, to separate ourselves day by day unto the service of God, to put things away that God doesn't like, to put things away that God is an abomination unto God, to put things away that are not godly, to put them away and to walk in our holy calling. So God is still calling people today. God is still speaking to people's hearts. Even today in this service, the call of God is going out to every single person today. The word of God will not return void. God is calling. God is calling some here today to give their life to Jesus. Maybe you're going to hear that initial call the first time that you've heard the call of God to give your life to Him. Maybe the call of God to you today is that you are far from God. Yes, once upon a time, you burnt with a passion and a desire to serve God, but the call of God is going out to get back to your first love. Remember when you first gave your life to Jesus and you served Him so passionately, you prayed, you read the Word, and there's a call going out to get back to your first love, a call to move to another level of faith and another level of commitment. Maybe the call of God to you today is to put away compromise. I'm preaching today about the call of God. God never stops calling us. God never stops calling us to a higher plane or a deeper walk. There is always a call. You see, if you think you've made it, then you certainly haven't made it. Because God is calling you higher. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, and you can put all those little medals on your chest, but hey, you know, it doesn't matter what medals you got on your chest, God's going to keep calling you because He's going to say, I got more for you. I want to reveal more to you. I want you to walk in your holy calling. Everyone say a holy calling. You see, maybe you're somebody that says to me today, Pastor, I haven't heard the call of God. I come to church and yeah, we sing some nice songs and you give an inspirational message, but really, God never speaks to me. Let me tell you, that is true. There are some that come to church and God no longer speaks to them. It's not that God has stopped speaking, but their heart has become so hard. They've come to church week after week and they've just shoved it aside and ignored God's word. And in fact, I had somebody, it was a warning. They came to me. They were in a backslidden state. Yes, they were still coming to church. They said, "Pastor, I'm worried." I said, "What are you worried about?" And they said, I can come to church now and I no longer feel conviction in my heart. I no longer feel God speaking to me. I no longer feel the challenge of the Spirit." And I looked at them and said, "You are in a very dangerous place." And they realized that. They were happy to come to church. In fact, they were happy to continue living the life that they had been living as long as they could come to church and they could hear God speak to them. It was some sort of comfort. It's kind of like a child that knows mum's in the next room. They didn't want to go in the room with mum, but they knew mum was in the next room. It's the same for those people that come to church and they just keep hardening their heart and God keeps speaking to them. They still feel challenged. They still feel convicted and they think to themselves, "I'm all right. God's in the next room." Because God is still challenging them. "I don't want to change. I don't want my life to change, but I feel comforted in the fact that I can go to church and God still speaks and I can feel His presence, but I don't want to change." But there will come a point if you live that life, there will come a point where you will come to church and you won't feel that anymore. Because your heart has been hardened. You've become desensitized and God is just going to leave you. He's no longer going to speak. He's going to leave you until you turn to Him. And so there is a danger that we tune out to the call of God. But even though we may tune out, as Brother Akbar read in leading us in worship today, Psalm 139 says that we cannot flee from the presence of God. David, in all that he did, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish. Another verse said, "Even though I make my bed in hell, oh God, you are there." You see, God never stops pursuing us. Yes, we can become hard-hearted. We can tune out the voice of God and the call of God. But God is pursuing us always. Grace and mercy is pursuing us. And so I believe God has a plan and a purpose for every single life. God has a plan and a purpose. God has a plan to move us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. It is the call of God. Abraham, one of the greatest men in history, patriarch, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, a faithful man. In Genesis 12, you throw it on the screen, verses 1 to 4, we see that the call of God goes out to Abraham. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," everybody say the call of God, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and go to a land that I will show thee." Come on, Abraham, I'm calling you to come out of that land, that country, your kindred, your father's house, and to go to a land that I will show thee. "And I've got a promise, Abraham, if you will hear my call and if you will come, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and I will make thy name great, and you will not only be blessed, but you will also be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So what? "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." So Abraham came to the call of God. There's another man, though, whose name was Lot. Lot also experienced a call of God. But Lot settled for a familiar and a small place, somewhere nearby. You see, judgment had centered on Sodom and Gomorrah, but mercy provided a way of escape for Lot and his family. We read in Genesis chapter 19, verse 15, it will be on the screen. "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot." Everybody say the call of God. "The angels of God went and hastened Lot, saying, 'Arise,
I'm calling you to get up, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Come on, Lot, get up, get your family. I'm calling you to get out of this city, Sodom and Gomorrah, to get out of this city. Look at verse 16. Some of the saddest words you may read in the Bible. It says, and while he lingered. You see, very often the call of God comes out to us and we hear it. And God's giving us a warning. He's telling, it's time to come out. It's time to get on. It's time to move out of that life of sin. But we like to linger. Why? Because we become so familiar with it. We become so comfortable. And the Bible says, and while he lingered. Listen, look at this. Even though he lingered, God was still merciful to him. Look at this. The men laid a hold upon his hand. The angels of God laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Those angels grabbed Lot by his hands, his arms, grabbed his family. And look, it says, the Lord being merciful unto him. I don't know if you would feel exactly that the Lord was being merciful to you when some angel just come and grabbed you by the hand and grabbed your family, but the Lord was being merciful, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So there is Lot. God says, come on, Lot, get your family, get out of this city, because it's going to be destroyed, lest you be destroyed in the iniquity of this city. And Lot's like, yeah, I heard that before. Now, I've been coming to church for a while, you know, been giving my life to God for a long time. I've heard all this before. You know, one day, when it's convenient, I'll make the change. I'll come out of that city. But you know what? In the mercy of God, that angel said, hey, you silly man, and grabbed him and put him outside of the city. Now, I don't know about you. That would have been enough for me. If I lingered and God just manhandled me and popped me and my family outside the city, I don't know. That would probably be enough for me to live my life for God for the rest of my life. What an experience. I don't know exactly if it would be exciting, but I'd definitely be standing there in awe of what God has just done. Man, in my foolishness, I lingered, but God picked me up and he put me out of the city. But it wasn't enough. God was calling Lot to get out of that city. It wasn't enough. The mercy of God was extended to him. He lingered, and then he lingered, and he lingered, and then God set him outside of the city. And look at this. And it came to pass. You see, Lot was hearing the call of God, but it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that Lot said, the angel said, escape for thy life. The angel of God says, Lot, I've been able to bring you this far. I've got you out of the city. Now keep going. Escape for your life, the call of God. The mercy of God gets us out, and the call of God says, escape for your life. Keep going. Everybody say, keep going. Keep going. Look not behind thee. You see, God has brought us out of some situations. Yeah, we may have lingered, and the miraculous is what brought us out of our sin and out of our situation, but the call of God is, come on, keep going. Look not behind thee. Don't stay in all of the plain. Don't stay down here on the plain. He says, escape to the mountain. You see, Lot, I called you out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I called you to another level. I want you to escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said, man, the call of God is going out. And maybe you can relate to this. Maybe there's been situations where you've been hearing the call of God and you lingered and you fought against it. The call of God is going to Lot. And Lot said, oh, not so, my Lord. Throw it up on the screen. It's there, I think. He said, oh, Lord, not so. Not so. I know more than you, God. Even though I had to be manhandled out of the city, miraculously placed outside of the walls of Sodom and Gomorrah, God, I still think I'm smarter than you. Believe it or not, some of us have problems with that. We honestly think we are smarter than God. We think we know we're better than God. We think we know more than God. We think we know a better way. I wouldn't ask anybody to put their hands up, but all of us are probably guilty of that sometime. In fact, when you pray, when you don't pray, you're telling God, don't worry, I got this one. Yeah, we never really had it at all. A lot of times we say we got it, we make a mess of it, then we start praying. And Lot said unto him, O Lord, not so. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I found grace in your sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy. God, it is one thing that you're merciful, but now I have seen your mercy magnified unto me. I've seen the greatness of your mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. Not just in your mercy, but God, I've experienced your magnified mercy. God, you weren't just merciful to me, but even though I lingered and wanted to stay in that situation, God, you forcefully took me out. Magnified mercy. Everyone say magnified mercy. But, everyone say but. But I can't escape to the mountain. I can't do what you said. I know you called me to go to the mountain. I called you me to get out, to keep going, to run, to escape, to keep going. But I can't. But I got a better idea, Lot said. I can't escape to the mountain lest some evil overtake me. I'm fearful, God, and I may die. And he says, but I got another idea. Behold now. And Lot starts telling God how to do his job. That's a very dangerous place to be. He says, behold now, I know you called me to go to the mountain. I know you told me to keep going and to escape for my life. But there is a city that is near. There is a little town just nearby where I am now. It's nearby. There's a little city that is near to flee unto. And it is a little one. It's just a little one. But it's nearby. I've been there, like Queanbeyan. God, you told me to get out of Canberra and to run for my life. But is it all right, God, if I just go to Queanbeyan? I mean, it's nearby. It's a little one. Not so little anymore. I remember used to have to take a packed lunch to go to Queanbeyan. Used to drive through the bush and used to go from the ACT roads and you'd go, which, because back then, just a little bit of a sidetrack here. Back then, for those of you that don't know, the ACT used to be looked after by the federal government. So there was an unlimited supply of money. Our roads were just smooth. Everything was nice. And so when you used to go to Queanbeyan, there used to be a little bridge. You used to go over that little bridge and then the roads like... New South Wales government. We had the feds looking after us. But Lot said, but there's a city that is near. It's nearby and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? I'll be right, God, and my soul shall survive. I know you called me. You called me out of Sodom and Gomorrah. I lingered. Your miraculous and your magnified mercy put me outside of the city. But God, I got an idea. Can we come to some sort of a deal? You told me to go to the mountain. Yeah, I'm out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You told me to go to the mountain. But can I just go to this little city that's nearby? It'll be right. Exactly what he said. He said, it'll be right, mate. It says, my soul shall live. I ain't gonna die. I ain't hurting anybody. My soul shall live. You see, sometimes that's the way we respond to the call of God. Sometimes we ignore it and ignore it and ignore it, and God just does something miraculous in his mercy and just fixes it for us. He says, now I've done what you couldn't do. Now you do what you can do. Escape and go to the mountain. And then we start arguing with God and say, God, but what about this and what about that? And I think I know better. No, you see, Lot compromises going to another level to just stay at a little place. And so often, even in church and in Christians' lives, God is calling us to a higher plane. But we compromise. We go to the little city. We go to the little place. We go to the familiar. We don't go where God wants us to go. We settle for little things like little praise, little worship, little blessings, little deliverance, little dedication, little commitment. I tell you, God is calling you to another level. He's calling you to the mountain. And don't settle for a nearby city. Don't settle for something small. The call of God. The call of God is calling us higher. It's calling us to have a little more passion, a little more faith, a little more commitment, a little more holiness, to walk and to walk in the call, that high, holy calling. Matt, come here. You see, there's a difference between the call and the come. I called you about 10 seconds ago. You got up, straightened your tie, jacket, so you looked nice. And then he came. God does the calling, but we've got to do the coming. Thanks, Brother Matt. And so some of us, God calls, just like I called Brother Matt. We sit there and we go, nah. Next week. Or even worse, God calls our name and we say, must be speaking to someone else. I know in church there's a lot of people that are guilty of being pitchfork Christians. You know what pitchfork Christians are? When the word comes forth, they just pitch it over to somebody else. Say, God couldn't be speaking to me. He's speaking to Sister so-and-so. Oh, yes, yes, God's speaking to her today. No, God's speaking to you. You see, there's a difference. God does the calling and we do the coming. We've got to come when God calls us. Just because God called you doesn't mean that you came. God is going to continue to call. You see, God does the calling, we do the coming, and we've got to go all the way. You see, Brother Matt could have said, you know, God, is it enough if I just stand off my chair and look like I was going to come? God, is it enough that I just go half the way? No, God does the calling, and we do the coming. You see, the call, everybody say the call. The call of God gave us access. The call of God gave us permission. The call of God gave us the opportunity to respond. But it's one thing for God to call you, and it's a completely other thing for you to come. God is calling you today to give your life to Him. If you haven't given your life to Jesus wholeheartedly, He came to seek and to save the lost. He's calling out to the lost. Why don't you give your life to Him? Oh, do I have to be someone special? No, the Bible says the whosoever. Everybody that God so loved, the world that He gave. You see, that's the call of God to salvation. That we are called to come boldly to the throne of grace. Called. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly. Come on. Call. Come boldly. Don't you walk up there shivering and scared? No, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. I want to tell you today, and some of us, this is our testimony today. God can call you wherever you are today. God knows where you are. God has called people sitting on bar stools. God has called people sitting in dark alleys with needles in their arms. God can call you while you're sitting there smoking a bong. I don't know what else, but wherever you are, the call of God can go out to you. You don't have to be in church. You don't even have to be an altar. God can call you, and He's still calling people today. It's the call of God. The call of God. God is calling backsliders back. Come on, it's time to get back to your first love. God is calling us to keep walking on in our holy calling, that holy lifestyle, to leave some things behind. It's the call of God. Can somebody hear it today? It's the call of God. Don't settle for a little place. Don't settle for familiar places. The call of God. God is calling you out of the ordinary into the extraordinary, out of the natural into the supernatural. He's calling us to an abundant life in Him. Can you hear the call? Can you feel God calling you? You see, the call gave us access, permission, an opportunity to respond. There's not a problem with the call. There's not a problem with the call. The problem is in the coming. There's not a problem with the call. The problem is in the coming. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him come. It's the call of God. drug dealers, drug takers, rich people, poor people, like the Apostle Paul, people that killed Christians, the abused. And God even loves and calls the abuser not to continue in their lifestyle, but to come to God. White-collar criminals, blue-collar criminals. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. That's the call of God. The call of God is a comprehensive call. There's not a problem with the call. The problem is in the coming. The call of God is comprehensive, but the response, unfortunately, today is limited. And I was thinking, why on earth would such a gracious God, such a merciful God, such a powerful God, that when we are called of God, when He speaks to us, that our response is limited? You see, sometimes we have so much access. Sometimes we are so blessed. Sometimes we've got so much grace and mercy that we just take it for granted. It's like our kids, our children. The more we give, the less they appreciate. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, the appreciation is greater. Those of us who have been raised, maybe not so as fortunate as the current generation, the appreciation is greater when the blessings are scarce. You appreciate things more when you don't get it all the time. Once upon a time, we were just talking before church with Brother Ken about, you know, if you just got one present at Christmas, that would have been enough. Even if you just had a special meal, that was a great blessing. I didn't need a toy. But you see, because we've got so much access, because we've got so much stuff, our appreciation is less. You see, we give our children everything, and I know why we do it, because we don't want our children to go through what we went through. And then we complain because they don't appreciate it. You see, in fact, listen carefully, it was the scarcity and it was the struggle that we experienced when we were young that made us what we are today. And so don't think you're harming your children by not giving them what everybody else gets. Because it's the scarcity. And it was the struggle that made you what you are today. And we want to get out. You see, because we got so much access to the grace of God, we don't hear the call of God. We don't appreciate the call of God. We don't appreciate the mercy of God. You see, we have a grace that is so extravagant. In fact, John Newton said it like this. He said, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. He called me when I was a wretch." The call of God. Now I better get back to my text. In our text, Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee and he sees two men that are fishing. On the surface, it's just a Sunday school Bible story. But in the spiritual, it's a life lesson that all of us can learn today. Jesus is saying, when I came here, you were fishing. You were working and you were operating in one dimension. You were fishers of fish. But when I called you, I'm calling you to another dimension. I'm calling you to a higher plane, that I am going to make you not fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm calling you into your destiny. Okay, that sounds easy. Just stop fishing for fish and start fishing for men. It sounds so easy, but hey, there's something about the call of God that is disruptive. Everybody say disruptive. If you don't want to be disrupted, you won't respond to the call of God. You see, Lot didn't want to be disrupted. He just lingered there. God says, "Oh, you don't want to be disrupted, but I'm just going to disrupt you." Bang, boom, put you there. He says, "What? God, I don't want you to disrupt me again. I just want to go for something easy." You see, the call of God is disruptive. People who don't want to be disrupted, they don't want to be called. If you're looking for a nice, neat little Jesus, if you're looking for a nice little, neat little Jesus that's going to give you a thought for the day every day and a little bit of inspiration and then let you go back to your old life, then you're in the wrong place. Because the God I know is a disruptive God. When He calls us, He disrupts us. He upsets the apple cart. Some things are going to change. I'm talking about the call of God. You see, if you're looking for a nice little handbag, Jesus, that you can pick up, if it matches your outfit, then you're in the wrong place. Because my God is not some little handbag God that you just pick up when you think he matches your outfit and suits your day and what you want to do. No, we serve a God. He doesn't want us to pick him up, but he wants to pick us up. A disruptive Jesus. The Jesus I know disrupts things. The Jesus I know stirs things up. Jesus didn't come to be a handbag that we carry. Jesus came to be the man that carries us. If you want to keep fishing, then leave Jesus alone. If you're satisfied with the status quo, then just leave Jesus alone. But if you really want Jesus, I want to tell you, when the call of God comes forth, he's going to mess your plans up. He's going to mess up your intentions. He's going to disrupt some things, but he's going to give you something better. He's going to say, you were happy being a fisher of fish, but I'm going to make you a fisher of men. It's disruptive. That's the call of God. You see, there's not a problem with the calling. There's a problem with the coming. And we need a God today that stirs us up. I pray this message is stirring you up today. It stirred Lot up. It stirred Abraham up. And I pray it stirs you up. But Pastor, you don't understand. You know, I'm pretty happy where I am. I got a nice little thing going. Yeah, you got a nice little thing. Oh, you're settled. But let me tell you, God wants to give you more. It's the call of God. You see, God will never call you to do something that you can do. God will never call you to do something that you can do. God will always call you to do something that you cannot do in your own strength. And that you can only do it when you say, Lord, I cannot make it without you. I cannot move without you. In him I live and have my being. You see, the call of God is disruptive. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. You see, when I called Brother Matt at the back there, he was sitting there all comfortable. Got a good seat. Although the seats near the doors are never good. Find a seat in the front. He was sitting there all comfortable. And then when the call came, he had to get up. Now, I'm sure, Brother Matt, we know each other pretty well. Even though I called you, you're like, my goodness, he's calling me out in front of everybody. Lucky I got my best bow tie on today, and lucky I combed my hair. But when the call came, he was sitting there comfortable. He had to get up. There would have been a little bit of anxiety. What's he going to ask me to do? Because we never talked about this, did we? What's Pastor going to ask? Uh-oh, I'm nervous. Is he going to expose something? I don't know. Can you see the call of God is disruptive? Look, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. You should be able to find that. It's right at the beginning of your Bible. Right after the index. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let me tell you, when there is darkness and someone turns on the light, there's disruption. You know what you look like when you're sleeping and someone turns the light on? You're like, ugh. In fact, we can get really cranky when someone turns the light. Turn the light off! You're disrupting me. My kids do that all the time. Come in, you're laying there in peace, having a good sleep, and boom, light on. You're like, hey, get out! You can't even open your eyes. You're just looking in their direction. It's too bright. And you see, even on the very first day, the world was without form and void, and the world was in darkness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God disrupted things. He turned the light on. You see, there's some things about light that we don't like, and they disrupt us. You see, if I make a mistake and the light is off and I trip over, I can say, I just tripped because someone turned the light off. You can say, it's not my fault. I tripped. I made a mistake. The light wasn't on. But when someone turns the light on and you do the same thing, you see, light exposes things. And the call of God can shine the light on some things. You see, light is always disruptive. Look at this. John chapter 3 verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Throw that click down. Men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. They said, don't disrupt us. Don't disrupt us. We like being in the dark. Nobody can see what we're doing in the dark. Our deeds are evil. Please, don't turn the light on. And look at this. And men love darkness rather than light. You see, when light comes in, you see some things you never saw before. When there is no light, listen, there is no responsibility. Like I said, you trip over. You can excuse yourself and say, I didn't see it. The light wasn't on. When God says, let there be light, light lets you see, and you cannot blame anybody else anymore because the light has been shone. But light is disruptive. And this word of God, you know what? It's probably disrupting you. It's probably annoying you because God is switching the light on. The call of God is coming forth. Look at this. Psalm 115, 130 says, the entrance of the word, the entrance of thy words giveth light. When the word of God comes forth, it giveth light and it giveth understanding to the simple. You see, as I preach today, the call of God is going out. The light is making you see. It makes you accountable. The call of God is going out through the word of God, and the light is coming on. Some of you are realizing, I can't stay in this condition anymore. I've got to answer the call of God. I got to do what God has been calling me to do. What is God calling you to do? It's in our text. The last thing up there. Jesus is walking by the seaside. He says, follow me. Follow me. That's our job, to follow Jesus. And I will make you. Everyone say God's job. Follow me, and I will make you. All you've got to do is hearken to the voice of God and to follow him. And if you follow Jesus in the pursuit of Jesus, in the pursuit of Jesus, things will begin to change in your life. They didn't become fishers of men the next day. They just followed Jesus. And in the pursuit of following Jesus, their lives change. You see, a lot of us are asking God, God, change me, do this, do a work, deliver me from this, change me, God. And God's saying, no, that's none of your business. You follow me and I will make you. Our business is to hear the call of God and to follow Jesus, to pursue him, and God will do the changing. And look at this. And immediately they dropped their nets. Talk about disruption. They dropped them. There's something immediate about a true experience with God. This is the kind of conversion I'm talking about, you know, just turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about a complete change. So much of a change that the Bible calls it like being born again. The kind of conversion that turns your life upside down. The kind of conversion that results in people throwing the cigarettes away. People taking stuff back that they stole. People pouring bottles of grog down the sink. People going back and owning up to stuff and saying, God, I just got to set everything right because I've had an experience with him. It's the type of conversion that disrupts everything. It causes us to not just hold on to our nets and drag our nets through life, but it's the kind of call that calls you to drop your nets and say, Jesus, I'm leaving what I was doing to do what you called me to do because the call of God has come to me. I'm not preaching for anything else today except for some people here to drop some nets. The call of God to drop some nets. Immediately they dropped their nets and they followed him. And what they did immediately, listen carefully, what they did immediately changed their life gradually. Everybody say gradually. After dropping their nets, they followed Jesus. They followed. Yes, they were still struggling. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. It is the call of God. Let's all stand in this place today. All to Jesus, I surrender. God, I'm dropping my agenda and I'm answering the call of God. If God is speaking to you today, I don't want you to linger any longer. Don't be like Lot who lingered. Don't be like Lot who God had to forcefully remove from a situation. But say, God, I want to answer your call. I want to follow you. Lord, take me to the mountain. Oh, Lord, help me to drop my nets. Help me to leave behind what I used to be and embrace what you want to make me. When I read this text, Matthew chapter 4, the Sunday school story that we all know, what I read in this text is an experience. Everyone say an experience. But what I'm preaching is a relationship. It's one thing for God to just speak to you and to call you. Some of you may apprehensively say, I know, I believe in God, and I'm not happy where I am, but I guess I'll follow God. I've had an experience. But the text is about an experience, but what I'm preaching about today is about a relationship. God is calling you to follow Him. God is calling you to enter into a relationship with Him. You see, having a baby is an experience, but raising a child is a relationship. A wedding is an experience, but a marriage is a relationship. People look for experiences all the time, but today God is looking for a relationship. I ask you today, can you hear the call of God? Every single one of us, the Word of God is speaking to our lives. Can you hear the call of God? What is God calling you to do? Oh, maybe you're saved. Yeah. But keep going. Maybe you've been saved and God called you and it was miraculous. And now you're kind of just stuck somewhere. But you are called with a holy calling to walk in holiness. Maybe God is calling you to take that next step in your relationship with God. That next step of faith. What is God speaking to you about today? He desires a relationship with His people. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. God, help our spiritual ears to be open. God, help us. Come on, why don't you just pray? Lift your voice up. Don't be embarrassed of those around you. Every single one of us, God is speaking to us. Got to drop some nets. What are the nets that you're still holding on to? Yeah, it's hard to follow Jesus while you're dragging nets. They get caught in all sorts of distractions. You got to drop those nets and follow Jesus. Yeah, you're still struggling, I know. The struggle won't be over, but God's going to change you gradually. What you do immediately, God will change you gradually.